Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Eternal Bum Podcast. This is Joe 412 from Draft 412, filling in for our fearless hero, Ralph Williams, who is unable to join us this morning. But I do have Mark Mancini from Liberty Bell Smack, and I call him Mr. East Coast to West Coast. He's a East Coast guy living out in L.A., and Mark, welcome back to the Eternal Bum. Nice to have you again.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure to rip it with you, and yeah, Ralph, we're waiting on, and Scott Morgenroth, another one out in South Florida. They might be, you know, in a cabana with a couple of nice brews with some cigars looking like Louis Piant. So we don't know, but we got to work right now while we hold the fort for those two. But yeah, a lot to talk about, man, and I don't even know where to start. I know there was a burial in Los Angeles with the Dodgers. I met the Undertaker, the pallbearers, the hearse were going to Forest Lawn. I can't explain it. Only thing I can say, it's a psychological problem. And the L.A. on the hat, Joe, stands for lost again. This is a real boggling team in more ways than one, from the regular season to the playoffs. And I don't know what your take is on it, but they kind of remind me of the Buffalo Bills of the 90s. They just can't seem to win in the postseason.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because they are such a good organization. I mean, they, 10 years in a row they're in the playoffs. You know, they got the one, the kind of the cheat of the World Series in there when it was a shortened year.
Right.
And I'm not going to put an asterisk by it because there's that stuff happens. So, it's, hey, if it were the Pittsburgh Pirates, I'd be really happy too, and I would take it, and there wouldn't be an asterisk by my name. So you can't put the asterisk next to it. But I remember the Atlanta Braves went through a stretch like that in the 90s, where they would, you know, get to the series, or they would get to the championship and just couldn't get over the top, and then they did. And you know, and it's not personnel. And I think, you know, what their coaches and what the administration does really well with these guys is they maximize them. They get the most out of them. Like some of the players that they bring in, you're questioning, you're like, how are they going to fit? And all of a sudden the guy's hitting 40 home runs or something ridiculous like that. So it's not that they can't get there, but it's just like, and they just went out with another whimper. You know, you and I were joking about it in the summer. We were saying, you know, that, you know, LA, you know, that the Dodgers and the team, they're the champions of the regular season. And I just don't get why they can't move forward in the playoffs. It just, they've got the personnel, they've got the budget, they've got the administration, and it just, they can't put it all together. So I'm with you. It's a mystery wrapped up in an enigma, man. I honestly do not get it, but I do have to say this. I'm happy that the Baltimore Orioles got in. I think everybody, it's a really good story. You've been saying, throughout the summer that you think they're a year away. Maybe they arrived a year earlier. They learned a lesson. Next year, they're going to be hard to beat. But you know, I've got to tip my hat right now to the Philadelphia Phillies. They did something I thought was not going to happen, and that was beating the Atlanta Braves. I mean, the Braves go into this postseason with a team that has 300-plus home runs in the regular season. I thought for sure they were going to be unstoppable. The inevitability of them playing, and I, you know, obviously, I think the Astros might be the guys in the AL. I thought for sure it was going to be Atlanta and Houston, and the Phillies stepped in and shoved it down my throat, man. I don't know what you think about what happened to the Orioles, and I don't know what you think about what happened to the Braves, but I'd love to hear your opinion on it.
Well, and not only that, Scott has kicked the cabana, put the brew down for a minute, and he's on with us. So, Scott, welcome aboard, my friend. Let everybody know how they can get a hold of you as we're waiting for Ralph to kick the cabana over there and jump on.
Thank you, Mark. Yeah, I'm headed to Tampa later on to see the USF game against FAU. So I was trying to relax a little until I take off a little bit later. But anyways, they can reach me over at South Florida Tribune at gmail.com, on Twitter at Tribune South, and please subscribe to the South Florida Tribune YouTube channel. So glad to be on here, and there you go. All right, I was listening to what you had to say, Joe. Here's the thing, okay? Number one, I knew that Philadelphia was going to beat the Braves. I really did. I mean, they got some really studs in that lineup. They really, really do. I mean, would you want to face Bryce Harper, Nick Castellanos, you know, Kyle Schwarber and the rest. I mean, that's a Sultan of Squat lineup there. And, you know, they beat
him
last
year. Heck yeah.
Yeah, they beat him last year. They beat him again this year. So I think Atlanta had him say, oh, no, not again. Really? They have to deal with these guys. And I actually think the Phillies can win the whole thing. And I hope Bryce Harper gets a chance to win the whole thing. And I'm glad that he had that nice stare down with Arcia. So, you know, to me, the way I look at it is the Philadelphia Phillies are a team of destiny. And, you know, again, now they get the Diamondbacks. They used to live in Phoenix. So I'll be curious what the underdog Diamondbacks are going to do as well. Well, the Dodgers, well, to me, you know, you're going to start hearing catcalls of get rid of Dave Roberts and bring in Mike Scioscia. I know, Mark, you really love the Dodgers. Not really, but I'll probably start hearing whispers of Mike Scioscia's name coming up pretty soon. And even if you get Ohtani, what's to say that the same result won't end up that the Dodgers not making it to the World Series or winning one in a full season? So as far as I don't know if we're under the American League yet, but you know what? The Battle of Texas is going to get a whole lot more interesting. That's all I can say with Houston.
Yeah,
and
let me bring in David from Ventura County chiming in. He says he's a season ticket holder for the Giants, splits partial season tickets. He says, guys, it's a little unfair to rip into the Dodger organization. It's won 10 of 11 division titles, scored 900 runs this year. The postseason ain't fair for the teams that win divisions. They sit around for 5 days. They need to change it. Memo to Manfred. If this was a series where it would benefit the top teams, the Dodgers would steamroll the last four World Series. Well, I'm gonna say something to you, David, in Ventura County. First of all, should never drink a Friday morning. I know the weekend hasn't quite started, but never drink Jack Daniels this early in the morning and call this show and send us messages about what the Dodgers are going to do. I don't care if you scored 1,000 runs. You're just not good. October's proved it. You can win 100 games, whatever you want, four straight seasons. There's a psychological problem that me and Joe talked about earlier in the pre-chat that you guys just can't seem to get the job done. And don't give me this Kleenex routine that the thing is unfair, that the Orioles and you guys and the Braves all went home. The memo didn't get to the Houston Astros yet. So I don't know. They just keep on winning. So I don't know if you want to say something to David out there in Ventura County, Joe, and then we'll give Scott. But these guys shouldn't be drinking this early in the morning. Hell, the weekend hasn't even started back east yet.
Yeah, you know, so first of all, I know what it feels like. I mean, we all have those teams that we cheer for that just haven't gotten over the hump for whatever reason. And I mentioned that in my comments earlier, the Dodgers have been dominating. I mean, literally dominating, but they just can't get out of the regular season. You used the analogy of the Buffalo Bills, you know, and I think the Minnesota Vikings of the 70s or the Houston Oilers of the 70s, you know, against the Steelers. It's like you there are just some times where those teams can't do it, and I don't know why. And sometimes it's the teams in front of them, right? Like you mentioned Houston. I mean, Houston's a great organization. They might win again. Or what Scott just said, I mean, Philadelphia might be a team of destiny. They went in and did something to the Braves. I didn't think anybody was going to do it. I thought this was the Braves' year, you know, and even though I took Houston to win it all, I thought the Braves were going to come out of the NL, and bam, it stops. And I get it. I mean, I hear his point, you know, I do, on how these, you know, shortened series might work against teams at some times. But, you know, all in all, you know, good teams win. Right. And champions win all the time. And, you know, I think the Dodgers have been good enough. And I really like what they have in terms of player personnel. You know, I like what they've done in, you know, with, they've got a, you know, a great farm system. They've got excellent, you know, executives that make that team what it is. And that's why they're back. But it's almost like the snake bit, man. And I, you know, I hate to say they're cursed, but like 10 out of 11, you just can't. And you can't win one by accident? You know what I mean? Like a fair one, not the shortened season one. You know, I don't know. I feel bad for Dodger fans because I know what it must feel like to them. And it's a shame because I do think it's a class organization. I just, you know, I can't figure it out as much. I'm sure they're scratching their heads too, figuring out what they can do to get over the top. But it's just whatever they're doing, it just isn't making it.
Scott, your take on the guy out of Ventura County, David?
Well, let me explain a couple things. I remember a few years back when the Tigers took on the St. Louis Cardinals, you know, and lost 4-1. They had a longer layoff, too, and it did affect them in a sense because in baseball, you really can't afford to have too many long layoffs because timing is a lot of what you do, you know, continue the momentum of what you're doing. There's so many variables where there's some sports you can use the rest, some of them you can't. Now, from a pitcher standpoint, it's okay in baseball, a little longer layoffs. It doesn't work offensively. But, yeah, you know what? I don't believe you change the playoff system. I happen to like it. I mean, let's face the reality. At least, you know, it's not a one game and out. You have a chance to win 2 out of 3 like in normal series format that you have during the course of the regular season. So it gives another team a chance, whether they perform or not. Who knows? I mean, think of all the teams that won 100 games and aren't even going to see the respective league championship series. So, yeah, no, I mean, the guy that you're talking about here, a mudslide would be really better. I think they taste really, really, really good. So, but, you know, what else can I tell you, Mark and Joe? I mean, the playoffs are what they are. This is why it's October baseball. You know, you have a chance to go up there and prove what you're really made out of. And now, look, even the Texas Rangers, because they hung in there long enough, are going to get Max Scherzer back. So go figure that.
Right.
Here's the guy that.
Well, I want to get to a comment. Yeah, I want to get to a comment. Lance from Pensacola, Florida, says he will be at the game Sunday. And I got a buddy covering that game, Peter Blake. You know Scott and Joe. He's going to be covering the Detroit-Tampa game. Got friends covering the Philadelphia Jet game. But Lance goes, this is the game where the Buccaneers will whack the Lions. The Lions aren't for real. And this Sunday, I'll be cheering for the Creamsicles and the Tampa Bay Bucks. Well, that's Lance, I know you've gone toe-to-toe with Scott on this one, and Scott's going to have a comment. But, Joe, I'll give you the first shot on this one. I don't know why this game ain't at night to put it on Sunday Night Football. They've given us this another yawner. Yesterday was a yawner, Denver and Kansas City. This Sunday's, I know Danielle's going to get on me on this one, but the Giants and Bills is a yawner this Sunday night. Why aren't we getting Detroit-Tampa Bay?
You know, first of all, I agree with you. I mean, I think it's a game. If they started flexing them earlier in the season, this would be one that's flexed based on records. I do think Detroit is for real. I think people are afraid to admit it because there's still this sort of reticence around Jared Goff. Is he the guy? Can he really do it? But, you know, that team has been playing as good as any. They went into Kansas City. You know, the day they were hanging the banner on a Monday night in front of everybody and won. Now, I know that was a Travis Kelce-less team. It was a Chris Jones-less team. But it was still Kansas City at home with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and that championship fervor there. And they went in unaffected and won that game. And I look at their division – and there's nothing there. I mean, Chicago's already out. Minnesota's already out, and their schedule's horrible. Green Bay is a middling team, and they've already got the tiebreaker against them. So they're going to be that division champ. They're going to make the playoffs, and they're going to make a run. I think they're good. Tampa, I'm not so sure they're real. You know, I'm not sold on Baker Mayfield, and maybe that's my version of everyone else's Jared Goff. But I've seen enough of Baker Mayfield watching and covering the AFC North. And, you know, look, the guy's playing really well right now, so I can't, and nor should anybody complain about his play. The team just seems like it's won perhaps based on its schedule, you know, early here, and maybe it's more of you know, a function of who they've played. But, hey, you can only play who's on the schedule, and that's what they've done. So you can't complain about their record. And so I think that it'll be interesting to see what happens when they run up against who I think is a real contender. Or look, I don't know if Detroit's good enough to beat Philadelphia or San Francisco to get into the Super Bowl, but I think they're going to give them a run. I mean, I think that team is just as tough as anybody in the NFC. And I would put them third behind those two, and even in front of Dallas. I just, I'm not sure Dallas is the real deal either. But, Scott, you, I know you're a Detroit guy at heart, and I know you're living in South Florida. I got to get you in here.
Yeah, he's chomping at the bit.
You know I am. Number one, okay, Lance, why don't you show up to the FAU-USF game, and then we can talk about this in person, because I will be there, and I'll probably be seeing Pierre Blake. So, you know, I enjoy the fact that Lance gets to come on. Maybe he knows I'm coming on and he's looking for that shot at me. But problem is, Lance, you're never going to beat me in a debate if you try. So you are delusional, okay? So here's the situation. By the time Aiden Hutchinson gets his hands on Baker Mayfield, okay, instead of me talking to instead of using the word Bloody Mary, I'll just say Bloody Lance, okay, because that's what you'll be drinking when you go ahead and swallow your words after I'm out in a week out, all right? So, number two, hey, let's face it, the Tampa Bay Bucks will remind me of the Tampa Bay Rays. Once upon a time, the Tampa Bay Rays started out 13-0 and couldn't even get out of the first round, losing 0-2 to the Texas Rangers. So that's called fool's gold. Don't get me wrong. I'm glad that Baker Mayfield has found himself a new spot, and they really like him in Tampa. And taking over for Tom Brady is never an easy job. But, dude, you know what? You know, if you're going to come at me stronger. For some reason or another, I think that you're in, what do we call it, the twilight zone. That's really where you're at, Lance. You are in the twilight zone. You know, this team, the Lions ended up winning last week without, I think, Jahmyr Gibbs and Rama St. Brown, and Aiden Hutchinson is a beast. I'm not. And Jared Goff is a fine quarterback. Nobody said he's going to put up the flashing numbers like a lot of these other guys, but they don't need him to. Once upon a time, Mark Sanchez won a couple playoff games with Rex Ryan as his coach because he was the game manager. So what? The game of football, like any sport, is all about winning, winning. So, Lance, I appreciate you coming on at me. You know, to me, Lance, you are better than caffeine. I like the fact that you get me going so I can hammer you because I hit I-75 a little while. But it should be a good football game. I never thought about wanting to get credentialed for it because I got the USF game. Two games in 2 days would be long as I get ready for a busy schedule and wrapping up the book that I have that I'll be writing. But who knows, maybe I could get Lance to buy a copy. What do you think, Mark and Joe? We'll see.
Yeah. Now, you bring up interesting points across the thing. Jody, do you want to add anything?
I think that, again, I mean, I mentioned before, I think Detroit is real, and I think that I hear what Lance is saying, and maybe he's a homer, and, and look, there's no reason at all why I don't think Tampa can go out and win. I just, if you ask me to put money on it, I'm going to put money on Detroit 9 times out of 10. In this game, I just think that they are the real deal this year. Now, they might have some growing pains. It's still a young team. You mentioned Amon-Ra St. Brown. You mentioned Jahmyr Gibbs. You mentioned, some of the players on the defensive line. I mean, it's still a young team. There are going to be stumbles along the way. But you're right, Scott. I mean, Jared Goff has been a pretty good game manager. Even when he was in L.A., he was a little bit more run and gun then, and I think people were surprised that he did as well as he did last year, and I think this year there's an expectation for him to do this well. And it's okay. You can win Super Bowls with a game manager. Would you rather have Patrick Mahomes at the front? Sure, of course. Who wouldn't? But, Detroit doesn't have that, and they've got someone that they're just as happy running onto the field with. So I'm going to take Detroit. I might come on here next week and have to lick my wounds and say I was wrong, but, I think that it's the Lions game to lose.
Yeah, yeah, you know what? I'm favoring Detroit as well. Why wouldn't I? But not because of a homer standpoint. You got to remember the job that Brad Holmes has done bringing in all these guys. Wait till Jamison Williams starts to get going, that wide receiver that they acquired last year. So we'll see what happens. I like the lineup because I'm a homer. I'm just looking at the record and how they played, and they played real well. Lance, a little piece of advice that I would advise you to do, okay, and I want to get this in, Mark, while I have a moment, all right, is I advise Lance, of all people, to get my book called Lessons from the Microphone, Tuning into the Enduring Wisdom of Visionary Leaders. okay, you know, and the people I have here, you'll learn from people like me, Lance, and everybody else before you like to take I don't view it shots, because I don't view anything from you as shots toward me, because you are a homer in every sense of the word, but you might learn something from it.
Hey, let me get into the sure shot. I said it earlier on Danielle's show today, and maybe Danielle thought I was drinking, but I'm going to throw this out there. Don't be surprised. And you guys might say, "Come on, Mark, where are you getting this one from?" But don't be surprised if Cleveland pulls one on San Francisco. Now, I'm going to just lay this thing out. The F. Dallas shirt that Kittle was wearing, the whole emotional thing over the Cowboys, beating them twice now, knocking them out of the playoffs, the cross-country flight going to Cleveland, I'm not worried about that. But this is a game where people in Vegas might be putting heavy money on the 49ers, but Joe and Scott, I'm looking at this as, you know, San Francisco might be fooling a lot of people. They really haven't played a lot of people here. They beat the Steelers. They caught them off guard. And we always talked about earlier, when one of these West Coast teams come back east, they'll surprise, you know, the Steelers in their backyard in the beginning of the season. Later on in the season, the snow comes in, it gets cold, and all of a sudden they get throttled. But look at the 49ers, who they have beaten. They beat the Cowboys, they beat the Giants, they beat the Rams. They really haven't beat anybody. I like Cleveland to pull a surprise here, and I'd like to hear your comment, Joe and Scott, on it. But this is the one where I go, watch out. A lot of people might say the Eagles and Jets. I'm saying watch out, Cleveland could pull one on San Francisco.
Well, you know, I guess I'll disagree respectfully. I think that, you know, Cleveland is going to – it looks like they're down to their third-string quarterback. They tried DTR last week, and obviously not going to work. So they got P.J. Walker starting with Deshaun Watson and the injured shoulder. The offense is going to be crippled. You know, for sure. And against that San Francisco defense, if they score more than 10 with a third string quarterback, I would be surprised. But Cleveland's defense, if you're going to win this bet, Mark, it's on Cleveland's defense. They are real. I mean, they've got a heck of a pass rush. They might have the best tandem corners in the league. You know, I got to see them close up at personal a few weeks ago during that Monday night tilt against the Steelers, and they are for real. You know, their offense, even, you know, Deshaun Watson just hasn't been able to get his footing, and then the injury, and he was frustrated in that Steelers loss. And again, the Steelers have a great defense, and they frustrate a lot of quarterbacks. But, you know, I think that, you know, if Cleveland's going to pull it off, it's going to have to be a defensive gem. It's going to have to be low scoring. They're going to have to stop McCaffrey. But that team's offense right now is built with the best signal caller or the best play caller in the National Football League and as a coach in Shanahan. I'm not sure that Cleveland's up for the test on this one. I'd put my money on San Francisco. But like I said, if it is going to be a Cleveland upset, it's going to come on the defensive side of the ball. Scott, I don't know if you agree or disagree.
Well, no, I'm not going against the 49ers. No way. People will think I'm drinking on Friday. No, I'm not, okay? I like the 49ers. I think they're the best team in the NFL. I really do. And they would be my Super Bowl favorite. If you think I'm going to go ahead and put my money on P.J. Walker to beat the 49ers, then we are all delusional there, because I am not doing it. So, you know, again, Deshaun Watson hasn't played up to his contract yet. And, you know, the way I look at it is, you know, owners are going to think twice about handing out that kind of dough to begin with. And I think the Houston Texans won that trade by with C.J. Stroud over Deshaun Watson. Are they going to have to put up a defensive gem? Probably, because their offense, if you're relying on P.J. Walker. But, no, I like the 49ers. I don't see an upset there at all.
Well,
I really don't.
Let's get Ralph in. He popped up. Ralph, 5 minutes and some change left. We're so blessed to have you in here. Let everybody know how they can get a hold of you.
Yeah, Ralph Williams 737 at gmail.com, Facebook, LinkedIn, and also on my website, www.rwmedia.org, and I also have my Facebook page, and I'm on Twitter X platform also.
Yeah, we've had some nice comments with people across. Somebody was going off on Scott with the Lions, going to lose to Tampa. We had a guy in Ventura County talking about Badger and his Dodgers. He's a season ticket holder. They've scored 900 runs and stuff like that. But you should get your money back in Ventura County if you're going to go see the Dodgers, or definitely get a bag with admission for the postseason.
Well, we all know you don't like the Dodgers anyway, Mark. It's the worst kept secret on the planet.
Well, hey, listen, guys, I'm having a great week. Here's the layout, and I'll lay it out with you because you're all my brothers. The Steelers beat the Ravens. The Dodgers have gone home. Things run in threes, so if the Penguins can take the Capitals out tonight, the three most hated teams can go all out in the same week.
Yeah, come in,
Joe, and then we'll give it over to Scott real fast, and then Ralph.
Yeah, well, you know, the Penguins had a chance to win that opener against Chicago. There was the big national opening. There was the debut of Connor Bedard and the Chicago Blackhawks. They were up 2-0, and then, you know, they get down 3-2. They give up the empty net goal at the end to make it 4-2. You know, Bedard gets his props. The team comes in and wins, and they have just had a hard time over the last couple of seasons beating the lowly Blackhawks. I have no idea why. It's just one of those teams that you just sometimes other teams don't match up well with, but it looked like they had everything going. I have to say I was impressed with the bottom two lines up until the last, you know, 8-9 minutes of the game. But the Penguins last year lost 12 games with leads going into the third period and into overtime and into the shootouts. And this was just a repeat of that. Head coach Sullivan and general manager Dubas, they thought they went out. They reinvented this team. And I'm going to say this. I mean, it's hard to gauge hockey teams, basketball teams, baseball teams in the first month of the season, right?
Yeah.
These are long, long seasons. You got to give this team, you know, 10 games to gel. You got to give this team some time so people know. And let's face it, they had over 50% turnover in that lineup. I'm not so sure that these guys know how to play with one another yet, let alone play against the Caps. So half the team doesn't know about the Capitals Penguins rivalry because they haven't played in it, except for Lars Eller, who was on the other side of it. You know, so we'll see. I mean, it'll be curious to see. I think these games are just as much exhibition as the first couple of games in the NFL are for teams these days. I mean, no one plays those preseason games like this, and so I think that this first 10-game stretch is always a bit of a warm-up. But, you know, a loss in October is just like a loss in April.
Yep. Hey, 2 minutes and some change. Scott, let everybody know that comment real quick, and then let everybody know where they can get a hold of you. I'll give it over to Ralph, back over to Joe to let everybody know where they can get him, and then we'll wrap up this great show.
Hey, the main reason you're having a good week is you're just glad I can say I told you so with all the Dodger haters that you have, including my buddy. George said, Mark Mancini's going to bury the Dodgers, so he's got to be happy about that. As terms of getting a hold of me, please subscribe to the South Florida Tribune YouTube channel. South Florida Tribune YouTube channel, no cost. SouthFloridaTribune@gmail.com. Go to my website, www.SouthFloridaTribune. And as I just mentioned moments ago about my book, okay, I hope everybody has a chance to go out there and get to it. But it's Lessons from the Microphone, Tuning into the Enduring Wisdom of Visionary Leaders. Be released in about 2.5 weeks. Thank you, Mark.
Oh, my God. I love it. Hey, Ralph, as I give it over to you, there's not enough. There's no more dirt. They won't sell me any more dirt in California. Going to have to go to Pennsylvania. Let everybody know how they can get a hold of you.
RalphWilliams737@gmail.com. Also at the on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter X platforms. And also, I have my own YouTube channel, www.rwmedia.org. And I'm going to just real quick before we go say something like what Joe said. I've always said this. I don't care how much talent you put in there. If it can't be coached properly and the system doesn't work right, then, the talent's not going to do what it needs to do. So we'll see what the Pens do with this new talent.
I love you. And Joey from Bucks County says, glad to see all four of you are on, man. Missing Joe 1 week and now getting you back in here today, Ralph. So Joey from Bucks County, great guy. Joe, let everybody know how they can get a hold of you across the board, and then we'll wrap this thing up.
Yeah, I'm real simple. You can get me at joe@draft412.com if you want to email me. You can also find me at draft412.com or any of our socials are draft412. So check us out there and look to find you in the socials or in the emails.
Well, for yours truly, Mark Mancini, leaving Dodger Stadium with the funeral caskets and the procession, the hearses and everything as we move over to Forest Lawn. Scott Morgenroth making the trek up to Tampa to sit down there with Lance from Pensacola at the Detroit-Tampa game Sunday. And the two guys in the bird who are going to watch the Pens demolish the Caps today. Have a blessed weekend. Thanks for tuning in. We can't wait to hear from you next week, same time, same channel. Till then, go Pittsburgh. Good night, everybody.